At Real Metrics, we collect and analyze a ton of slot data, and we're hit up frequently for insights, tips, and tricks. So we decided to do a podcast in which we present, discuss, and otherwise nerd out on our work. Coming to you from our offices in lovely Leiden, the Netherlands, welcome to Realcast. Good morning, Don. Here we are, first episode of our third season. Can you believe that?
That's crazy. I can't believe it's 2024. Wasn't it just 1999, like 3 years ago?
It was indeed. Yeah. So are you buried in snow there today in Illinois?
No, actually, all the snow we had was melted, but we're supposed to get a storm tomorrow. Since we got that -5, -6 over the weekend, it never gets that cold in St. Louis.
Okay. Whoa. Sure. All righty. Well, so we have two guests today for whom we have a lot of questions. So we're going to keep the pre-interview banner to a minimum today. So if it's okay with you, Don, I'm going to bust straight into the listener questions.
Awesome.
Before I do, let me say that we love to tackle any questions that anybody listening may have. If you have a question about what we're presenting or something you'd like us to present, please drop us an email at realcast@realmetrics.com. Again, that's realcast@realmetrics.com. Our policy is to keep all questions anonymous, so please speak directly and don't worry about us revealing your identity. That's not something we do. So, Don, first question comes from an operator in the American Midwest who writes, "Good morning, Realcast. I have a DragonLink 4-pack that we expanded by 2 units, and they're still doing nearly 5x floor. Would you, A, add some of the higher liability Dragon Cash units, B, add more DragonLink units at the same jackpot liability, or C, keep everything as is? All input is appreciated, fellas. Thanks in advance." So Don, smack dab in the middle of your wheelhouse. You want to take that one?
Yeah, 5x house, I would really consider expanding still. Mm-hmm. Depends on your density levels. But if your density levels, your occupancy levels are over 80, 85%, I would consider expanding before you get into Dragon Cash, as your players can play up on the Dragon Link machines. Normally, anything above 4, 4.5x house average, you can probably still add more units, especially if you added units and the play didn't go down. That means you have excess demand for it. So we found a lot of our host level customers really like Dragon Link, and they will play up. You'll probably generate $50 more per player per theoretical in each hour. So add more Dragon Link first.
Okay, very good.
But there's just been a couple of cases where I've seen really high multiples and it didn't warrant expansion. And that's usually because the occupancy levels are really low, like 40, 50%. But at 5x house, you're probably pretty safe.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so we have a second question that actually came in a couple months ago, and this one comes from an operator in Australia who asks, "Hi, Nick and Don, would you be willing to do an episode on slot influencers? I think many operators are interested in working with them, but we don't understand much about the business models and the other details. Thanks, BS. We love the podcast." So why we haven't done this yet is a bit beyond me, but in short, yes, we'd be happy to do this, and it's a perfect segue to introduce today's guests. So these gentlemen run what has become, without question, the biggest name in slot influencing and one of the most fascinating businesses to emerge in gaming in the gaming industry over the past decade. They have roughly 650,000 YouTube subscribers, 4,400 videos up, incremented daily, a branded gaming area at the Plaza in Las Vegas, a branded slot machine produced and marketed by Gaming Arts, and branded cruises with Carnival Cruise Lines. Basically, when slot influencing is mentioned, it's the first name that comes to mind. I'm referring, of course, to BC Slots, and we're delighted to have with us today the founder and CEO, Mr. Brian Christopher, and VP of Product Development, Mr. Josh O'Connell. Howdy, boys. How are things in Palm Springs today?
Very good. Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. Now, like many in the gaming industry, when I first heard of slot influencing, and I think this goes back to, let's say, 2018, 2019, I, not unlike essentially every industry person I know, just dismissed it. right? I just couldn't imagine anything more inane than watching YouTube videos of some dude playing slots, right? So I just felt it would be a flash in the pan, placed it in ignore mode and went on with life. And then fast forward to 2022, Brian and I met at an AGS conference in Florida. And on one of the nights, I bumped into him on the slot floor streaming a session at Reagan Bacon Deluxe. And when I asked him how many people were watching him, he delivered a digit I simply could not believe. It was 18,000 people. Now, my memory is a little bit fuzzy, but upon hearing that metric, I seem to recall my head spinning all the way around on its axis like a radar dish. You know, just ignore mode officially deactivated at that point. So, Brian, let's start from the top here. What on earth compelled you initially to bust out your phone and start streaming your slot play?
Yeah, well, actually, it started in 2016. That's when we first started doing this. Mm-hmm. And I had no plan to do this for a living, let's be frank. I had spent my whole life as an actor in Canada, and my lifetime goal was to move to LA to further my career. And so after 20 years of it in Canada, I packed up and moved with my husband down to LA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we first got here, it was right before Christmas. And so we didn't think about traveling back home for Christmas already. We just got here. So we thought, let's go to Vegas. We've never been to Vegas before. And so we went on online to look up which casino to stay at, you know, where to go, what kind of games they have in Vegas. I didn't know if there's a big difference or not. And I came across some videos of people that did this, that they filmed their slot play. I thought it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Why would anyone sit and watch this, right? It doesn't make any sense. And then like 8 hours later, I'm still there watching. Like I was so sucked in. But the actor side of me and the filmmaker side of me is watching these videos and I'm like, they're barely talking or they're not even showing their faces or I can't fully see how much they're betting. Their camera angle is really bad.
Like, right.
And I was like, man, maybe when I go there, I'll film some of these for fun and I'll throw them up on my YouTube channel. Cause I had a YouTube channel as being an actor. I had a whopping, I don't know, 15 or 20 subscribers probably. and so I did just that. I went there, I filmed a few games and with zero experience of doing anything on YouTube, I literally posted like 5 or 8 videos on day one, another 5 on day two, and the rest of whatever I had left, 3 more on day 3. They're all like 2 to 3 minutes long. And then I was done. I walked away from it. I was never going to do another one again. But to my surprise, a week later, I had over 1,000 subscribers and hundreds of people asking, when is the next video coming out?
Wow.
So it was a little shocking. And, you know, like I said, no plans to do it. I posted it on my actor channel. Yeah. And it's still the same channel today. So if you go to the very beginning of my channel, you're going to see all my acting videos.
Okay, well then tell us a little bit about those early days, particularly, you know, with respect to the operators. So how did they react to it? Because I'm sure you at one point had some people coming and talking to you.
Well, yeah, you know, I had my share of being escorted out the door a few times.
No kidding.
In those first days, I mean, first, you know, I don't know, six months to a year, you know, I didn't seek permission. I just would walk inside and sit down at a game and just start filming myself on my cell phone. Wasn't filming anybody else or anything else, but some properties were just not open to that idea. Yeah. And had asked me to leave. And as a side note, the funniest thing was whenever I would ask, well, why not? Their answer was always, it's against the law, which it's not.
Right. Yeah,
I was told because of terrorism. I was told that once. And I'm like, what? Yeah, very weird. But then came along San Manuel Casino, which, you know, from LA, very short drive away, learned they had an open filming policy. And so I decided to go there and film. And that was led by Thomas LaRocca, who was just, I don't know how he thought so far ahead of everyone else, but he was open to this idea. So big shout out to him. So I started filming there more often. They invited me back. We became like, you know, good friends. And they were also my very first sponsor. And also 7 years later, I'm actually sitting in their hotel room right now because I'm filming there today.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, I think awesome. It was Sam. Well, you do quite a bit. You've done quite a bit at Aqua Caliente as well, right? is another big one for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've worked with tons of sponsors all over the country. Agua Caliente is a big one because, you know, they're local to us. We live in Palm Springs. Yamava is very close. We go to Vegas every month at our space at Plaza and then everywhere else around the country too.
Okay, great. And so then really when is it that you first noticed that it was like a material fan base arising? Like when did this become really kind of clear to you?
I will never forget it. I was filming. I don't remember if I was live or just filming a video, but out of the corner of my eye, I capture this woman and she just starts screaming like really loud. And she was looking at me and she was so excited because she saw me on the slot floor. And I was shocked. It was like she saw, you know, a big TV star, movie star, or whoever. And she was so excited. She wanted a photo with me. And I'm like, what? Like, what is this? You know, like, I just play slots. You know, this is not a celebrity status kind of job or what I'm doing here. And that's when I realized, oh, wow. You know, people really treat me differently. And they think I'm someone now, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, and then, okay. So for Josh, now you're the guy who founded the website Know Your Slots. And so you've been kind of in the scene for a long time. You understand slot players really well. How would you explain this phenomenon of the BC slots? What is it that really is turning players on so much?
Well, yeah. I mean, I found Brian's video. Well, the YouTube algorithm, by the way, is top notch because it knew I was interested in slot videos and put Brian's videos in front of me. The first batch came in front of me very quickly, so I was probably one of those people that saw it at the very beginning. And, you know, I think for me as a player, I think what draws me to these types of things has been the interest in learning about new games. One thing that's great about watching people like Brian is that you get a taste of a game before you sit down yourself and kind of get a feel for it and understand if it's something you're going to want to play. But it's also, you know, it's when you see someone on your screen, whether it's your TV, a lot of people watch Brian on their TV or on their computer, you know, every single day, you sort of forge a connection because it's sort of someone that's coming into your house every single day. And so,
right.
You know, then when you kind of take the next step and you go to an event, in my case, Brian just happened to be in New York for what was supposed to be a live stream that got canceled on him at the 11th hour. And he's like, well, and he was live with the Rudies from a Dunkin' Donuts and is like, hey, you know, I'm still willing to meet up with someone for dinner. And so we ended up meeting up for dinner that night. That was sort of the first time I met Brian. And then when you meet him in person and you realize he's as genuine and as friendly and as nice in person as he is on camera, you know, you sort of build that next sort of level of connection. And I think that's part of it. It's a humanizing aspect of this, whereas, you know, if you're a slot player, it's many times a solo endeavor, right? You sit down at a machine, you're many times, or at least historically, I should say, you're by yourself, you kind of tune out the world, you're focused on the game. But I think what players like Brian have done has started to build a community around these things. You know, you meet people. Some of my best friends that I've made over the years have been as a result of being in Brian's community, and now part of the travel is to see them as well as Brian. Sorry, Brian. you know, you make these friendships like that are now 6 or 7 years deep that come out of our shared interest in casinos and slots. And we might socialize and have dinner before we go hit the casino floor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then I'm really curious when, I guess for you, Brian, it's when did you realize that you could really take what you were doing and turn this into a healthy, vibrant business? So, and you know, just give us a bit of an impression of those early kind of startup days when you really started forming the company.
Yeah. It was a pretty good success story from the beginning. After a month of the channel, I was invited to the partner program to start monetizing my videos. So like month one, I made a couple $100, maybe month two, I made $500 and it just kept slowly increasing every month. Yeah. And that's when I realized like, maybe I'm onto something here. I should keep doing this. Cause I could see the trajectory of where it was heading.
Yeah.
Obviously playing slots is a losing sport. You know, eventually I figured, I remember back then my budget was about $100 loss per video, right?
For the month.
And so my goal was always make $100 a day on YouTube. Yep. And, so I was like, eventually I can see it keep growing and growing until I will make $100 a day and make a profit. Yep. And that hit around the 1 year mark. when I started consistently making a large enough profit to make this viable.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it permitted for you to monetize your videos on YouTube? They have policies against that or anything, or is that allowed? Can you serve ads and things of that nature?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you can definitely serve ads. It's in their policies. You're allowed to do gambling. They have some restrictions around types of gambling you cannot do, like cryptocurrency and stuff. But showcasing gambling is totally fine with them.
Okay. All right. And I know Don has some questions about the engagement. So Don, I've been usurping the mic here, so I'll turn it over to you here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Brian. I've been blown away by two different things on YouTube over the course of probably the last 10 years, and yours was one of them. And getting the algorithm to get Baby Metal, watching a video of them once. Those are the two that really stand out of all the things that I've watched. And I remember watching your first video.
Did you say Baby Metal?
Oh yeah, if you got to watch it, it's insane. You look at it. I had the same reaction when I watched a Brian Christopher video. I said, "What did I just watch?" Because I was doing some research on slot machines, and YouTube's a great resource for operators. I used to use it for training videos and showing bonus rounds and stuff like that. And I'm watching one of your live casts, and I'm seeing all these comments and the 18,000 people watching. So what did I just watch? And the same thing happened to me when I watched Baby Metal. Just watch it. It's insane. So what is a typical Brian Christopher BC slots engagement like for the operator?
Right. So it's our goal is always twofold, right? We want to bring a really fun and exciting experience for the fans, but obviously we want to ensure that the casino is well taken care of and that we bring business to them. So we offer lots of different things that we can do for the casinos. First and foremost, obviously we make videos, right? We showcase myself playing the games, but it's more than just playing the games. I will walk through the property. I'll show off the hotel rooms, the restaurants, the bars, talk about their players club, any concerts they have coming up, things like that. So it's more exciting, and it's not an Instagram post of a steakhouse showing a plate of food, right? It is me taking a bite. It is like, wow, this is the best steak I've ever had, you guys. You know, it's real. And I will never lie either. I'm never going to, like, casinos, they can give me talking points to talk about, but it's at my discretion whether I say them, right? Because I need to make sure it's 100% authentic. That's the role of an influencer.
Josh said, it comes across really genuine on the videos. And I think that's one of the reasons why people keep coming back. And I've watched many of the influencers. We use it as a research point, too, for games that we don't know about and things like that. But your videos come across extremely genuine. Do you do like meet and greets with the customers there as well?
Of course. Yeah. So that's another part of the things that we offer them is a meet and greet. They always sell out depending on how big they want it to be. We could do 100 people, 200. We could do 300 people. It depends on what they offer there as well. We've also introduced meat and drinks as well, which is really fun. we do that in Vegas mostly, where, you know, we'll actually go into the casino and everyone has drinks and we gamble together and I just get photos and hang out because that's what people really want. How do I get to gamble with Brian Christopher? Right.
Yeah.
But the meet and greet itself is usually in a room. I'm on a microphone and they ask me every question that you can think of, not only about how slots work, but about my relationship, about, you know, everything possible.
Well, that's awesome.
Outside of those, there's the live streams, of course, which brings tens of thousands of people when we're live and then tens of thousands more after we're live. You know, we get a lot more views after it's finished. And then we host other events. So there is a thing called, you know about slot tournaments, obviously. I can host one of those, very easy to do. There's also group slot pulls, and those ones are really exciting. And those sell out so fast, like usually within a day or a few hours or something. And what those are is everybody that comes to those puts in the same amount of money. It's either $200, $500, $1,000. We all put in the exact same amount of money into one slot machine, and we do large bets as a group. Those are really exciting for people because a lot of my fans, they're used to doing a dollar a spin or 50 cents a spin. And now all of a sudden we're doing $25, $50, $100 a spin for a group hole. Mm-hmm. And so those are really popular in person. It brings so much excitement to the casino floor also. And so the casino loves, you know, what's going on the floor. Everyone's like, what is that? But then the videos do really well also on YouTube. So also brings more excitement to that casino. And so these videos, they live on forever. And so people are always going to see it. You know, we'll get millions of views, tens of millions of impressions, making people want to come to their locations.
That's wonderful. Outside of the group pulls in that, who usually furnishes the bankroll? And if it's the casino, do they usually give you cash or is it free play?
So I 100% use my own money for gambling. It's it's a legal thing, first of all. You know, the law is you cannot gamble with someone else's money. So I have to use my own money. As I am a big gambler already, you know, I'm used to, we already get, you know, free hotel rooms and food and free play, right? So aside from all that kind of stuff that we would normally get anyways, I'll add, you know, any free play that I might get is not used in my videos. I use that for personal play only for fun. And then anything I bet is my own. And so like our agreements, they don't say anything about Brian has to do so much coin in. He has to do play high limit slots. Nothing. I play what I want to play, right? It has to be what excites me and what excites my audience. So some videos I might do $1 a spin. Other ones we're doing $100 a spin. You know, my coin in is not reflected at all anywhere. I'll also add, you know, gambling's our biggest expense for us also, because the U.S. government does not allow businesses to gamble, right? You can't just take your company's money and gamble with it, right? Because otherwise every company would do that. If they have a chance of winning more money, let's do it. And then we can count it as a loss if we lose it, right? So that's our biggest expense, obviously. And so we have to make sure that we are compensated enough that we can afford to fly all over the country and all over the world with our staff to put on these events for them.
Okay.
That pretty much answers my question about what you do with the winnings and all that type of stuff. So
right back into that slot machine. Yeah.
So Brian, when it comes to these engagements, how is it that the operators define success? How is it measured? And then what would you say are kind of the typical ingredients of a successful arrangement? What are the conditions you require?
Yeah. And again, that is twofold because there are like scenarios online where you can type in what an Instagram post is worth and it'll spew out a number, you know, what a video is worth, how many impressions it's worth. So one video of mine is, I did it like years ago. It said one of my videos was worth like $25,000, something like that, or maybe even higher. Ridiculous number, right? I don't go by that fully, but obviously the videos have some value to them because they are seen by millions of people. And our fans tell us in the comments that they're flying to that casino or visiting that casino because of us. When we turn people around, they often say, oh, I haven't been to that casino in years. I see they put in new games. I'm going to go back there now. Right. So there's the video aspect of it worth every penny. It really is. Mm-hmm. For the events that we host, we are bringing hundreds of people to their casino. Yeah. And these are not just regular people. These are gamblers. They want to play. Yeah. And so by bringing them to their casinos, we know they're going to play. We have hundreds of them in there. And we want the casinos to make sure that they're able to, you know, get their return on investment immediately. And so they will. And so by doing that, you know, we'll have the casino offer them some free play, $10, $20, whatever it is. That way they are able to like make sure they have their players' card numbers and they can, you know, track how they're doing and how they're playing on the floor. And we have some really great stats that show how many people we bring back to the casinos, how many people are brand new to the casino. We often end up bringing a younger demographic than they're used to as well. So some really great intel that we're able to share with them and to ensure that it's a success for both parties. And yeah. Yeah, that's all I'll say for now.
But that kind of brings it to your fans, the Rudies, right? These folks. And yeah, maybe you could kind of give us so you mentioned that oftentimes you attract a younger demographic, but what does that slug of players look like? I'm kind of curious. What is the demographic makeup of that
game? Yeah, it's really random. So you had mentioned earlier we have like around 670,000 subscribers on YouTube. We also have over 700,000 on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I think we're about 1.6 million between our channels. And the thing is, on YouTube, we do skew a little bit older. We're about 50-50 men and women. Mm-hmm. But Facebook for us skews much younger. And wow. It's more of the male millennial side than anything else.
That's really surprising. I didn't even think those people were on Facebook.
legit, right? And for us, it really started during the pandemic. That's when we really exploded a lot more on Facebook.
Sure.
And so I don't know if young people were just really bored at that point, but that's how they found us, and they've stuck with us through it. So definitely a lot more younger male audience skews on Facebook compared to YouTube. But overall, like at our events, you'll see every age range, and they come from all over, every walks of life.
Okay. And so we're talking a bit about, you know, demographics and data here. So Josh, what types of data insights are you plowing into the BC products, and how does this drive success there?
Yeah, so we look at a lot of different things, you know, and as we expand our ecosystem of things we're working on, so does the data that we look at. So for instance, with the YouTube channel and Facebook, we're looking at all sorts of things in terms of engagement. We want to understand what resonates with people. Brian and I spend a lot of time looking at titles, for instance, of the videos, what gets people to click, what types of things. You know, we look at what other people are doing to sort of see if they have certain things they're leaning into and try to experiment as well. You know, when it comes to the types of content that's generated, like are certain games sort of popping constantly, because that could be, you know, a sign that they want Brian to play those games more, they're going to watch that more. You know, we have a whole social media team that monitors comments, and so we're looking at, you know, how people are reacting to the live streams, what they're telling us they're interested in, what they're loving, what they're not loving. Brian has this thing he does when he's betting really high where he's like clearing his throat, and there are people who just absolutely hate that, for instance. It's like, you know, it's interesting, like that you get this feedback all the time, right? But you know, and then when we look at other more sort of common marketing things like search engine results, what are bringing people to our website, to our channels, now to Flip the Switch, our new content platform, and we use that to understand what they might be interested in as well. So we're constantly keeping an eye on what the players are telling us that they're interested in, what the fans are looking for, to make sure that what we're putting out there really resonates with them, and that's part of the key to staying, you know, successful over time.
Then do the operators typically share data with you following your engagements then, like about results, and is there a tail on that of some sort, or do you guys get anything like that from the operators?
There are definitely examples where we get information from the operators, and we certainly love to have that information because it helps us understand how to continue making the events even more successful as well, right? So, you know, Brian cited some of the examples of things we learn, like what percentage of players are new to their ecosystem. So, you know, if 250 people show up for a meet and greet, you know, what percentage of them were new to the casino? That's really helpful. You know, what the increase in coin in from those players are, you know, it's obviously going to be, you know, anonymized and sort of aggregated data. So we're not learning player by player necessarily, but you're getting sort of enough information to be able to say, like, you know, all right, this was sort of what the engagement drove, and this helps us understand how we can continue to make them stronger.
Right. Okay.
Josh, one of the neat things I get to do at Real Metrics is I get to dive into a lot of player data, and we have over 2.5 billion player sessions I get to look at. And I've noticed a trend that I've dubbed the Brian Christopher effect internally, and it is, we've seen an increase in average bets and an increase in people pooling their money, like Brian mentioned earlier. And I'm seeing it on the casino floor. I'm seeing groups of 5 or 6 people. And it used to skew under 45. Now I'm seeing it more on the over 65 players doing it. And it's not just on video. It's on video poker. They're playing Ultimate X, and they're all throwing in a couple $100 and taking that shot at the jackpot. And I'm really seeing these increased average bets outside of things like sportsbooks on Dragon Link, Dragon Cash, stuff like that. Are you seeing or hearing similar customer tales of people pooling their money and taking shots at jackpots?
Yes, and I can vouch personally that I've done this with friends that I've met through this community quite a bit over the years, actually. Yeah, it's we sort of jokingly call them mini group pulls because they're not quite the size and scale of what Brian puts on, but like it's our version of it. So like each person might throw in $100 and you might do $10 spins. And, you know, either if you're successful, you might say, okay, we'll cash out, or maybe we'll, you know, move to another machine or whatever the case may be. But yeah, definitely something. And then taking turns on players' cards. So, because we all know that it's important to get that coin in on the card for our comps, right? But yeah, that's definitely something that I've participated in quite a bit. And I would never have thought of doing that before being in this community. But now that I know other people who enjoy these activities as well, it's sort of almost table stakes stuff that you do as a group. And it's a great way to it sort of socialize the slots in a way that, you know, sort of as I was speaking earlier, wasn't necessarily the case in the past. And I think that's kind of great. It makes it a bit more of a healthy relationship, right? Like you're kind of balancing the gambling with the social, and it sort of it sort of evens out everything a little bit. It's,
you know. Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm seeing it more and more. And Nick will tell you that I get aggravated when I can't get to my favorite slot machines because there's a group of six or eight people. And
all young men, right?
Yeah, it seems like it's a lot of guys under the age of 45 and they're pooling their money, taking their shot. And it's a little bit different than it used to be. It used to have you'd walk through high limit on your way out of Vegas, right? And put a $100 bill in a $5 reel. Now it's more video related and they're taking that shot. They're playing that $10 average bet or $20 average bet. So it's really interesting. Brian, do you play off camera as well? Do you enjoy playing the slots when you're not on film?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do.
Aren't you getting mobbed in on these floors though? That if you go in and play,
it's a thing. Like for me, like gambling is my relaxation, right? So after a long day of filming and gambling, to relax, I gamble. Like, and that could mean many things. Oftentimes, I'll go sit at the bar. You know, I'll play video poker. I love playing video poker. I don't do video poker in my slot videos, obviously, because it's a slots channel. Or I'll just hang out in the high limit room and play there. I'll hang out with my friends and do low bets with them. Or I'll go up to my hotel room and play on my phone because I got, you know, other options on there too.
So you haven't started with the disguises or anything yet to you know, go undetected?
I've tried. It does not work. There was this during the pandemic, I was so happy because now I have a mask. I can cover my face. So I would wear the mask. I would put my hat down really low. I didn't put the sunglasses too because that was just like way too much. People still found me. They still asked me for a photo. And, you know, it's I don't mind. I really don't. People just, you know, if I saw my favorite celebrity or someone that I love, you have to say hi, you know, or at least take a little snapshot when you think they're not looking, you know.
I'll add in, by the way, Brian does, you know, do a little modicum of dressing down a bit when he's going to go play on his own. But like every once in a while, he's absent-minded. I went with him to a casino once a few months back and he had put the hat on and things just to kind of, you know, change it up a little bit. But what he forgot to do was to take off the giant Brian Christopher Slots logo hoodie that he was wearing. And so by the time he says, well, I guess it's too late now. So, fortunately, didn't really notice that much, but, you know.
I thought you were going to say it was a BC Slots logo on the hat.
I'm pretty sure that's happened to you before.
We do have those too.
That's awesome. Now, Brian, you said you like you play your favorite machines. How do you pick the machines? And do you have a favorite that you like to play? Do you go back to?
Well, it's an easy answer. My favorite game is my own game. Brian Christopher's Pop and Pays More, obviously. It has to be. You know, my games are – I tend to like the more volatile style of games. I love all the link games. And that's why I'm really thankful to Plaza Casino because they have allowed me to store all my favorite games in their casino. I have, you know, my very own room there with my favorite games. And anything with a really fun and exciting bonus, that's really what leads the way for me. Most games these days are more volatile and are extremely hard to get those bonuses in. And I think our fans love those. And so I do listen to what they want to see as well and play what they want me to play. But those are the ones that keep me coming back.
And do you ever play the classic games? Do you mostly stick with the new releases?
I love the classic games still. I was playing, you know, like Wolf Run and Cleopatra yesterday. If those are still considered classic, those are classic to me. I think this was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. 100%.
So yeah, I do love to play those ones, but you know, the thing is on camera, the newer games just pop. They look really great. When I play an older game, you know, you get that little line going up the screen. It's like, you know, it doesn't really look as great. And my audience will often ask me, please play some of the older games. And I will, but our views are never the same. They're just never quite as good.
And actually just to add there too, Brian was responsible in part for Every, who had a very popular three reel stepper that was on the market for like 15 years, and they finally decided to update it. And one of the things they did was they updated the lighting package because they found out that there was a flicker when YouTubers would record on their iPhones that came through, and they fixed it for the new machine to ensure that they could film it better. So as a result of the work that Brian and others are doing, they actually made a modification to their machine to make it more camera friendly.
Okay, and do you do much work with the suppliers then? Are you doing engagements for suppliers at times?
Yeah, we have. We've been working with them for years, actually. We do a lot of world premieres, for example, with them. If they have a brand new game coming out, then we will, you know, set up a time to go to a casino to premiere it when it first comes out, which is I love to do, obviously. To be the very first person to do it is exciting. Dollar Storm was one of those games that I was the very first person to press spin on. And so we do those kind of activations with them. And now that we've started, you know, FlipTheSwitch.com with Josh and our team, we're working with them on there as well because we were featuring a lot of games on there as well. So definitely open with working with them further on those. We would love to be the first to know about everything, you know. Or to showcase everything to the world. Like, who wouldn't want to? And as a gambler, I definitely want to because that's super exciting as well.
Well, now you mentioned the Brian Christopher Pop and Pays More, and which is a game you that was put out by Gaming Arts. And we're just curious, to what extent were you involved in the design of that, and do you plan to do more branded slots moving forward?
I was actually very involved in the process, which is interesting because so Pop and Pays was already a proven game. I loved the game and they knew that. That's why they reached out to me to see if I wanted to be part of the second iteration. But they had actually already designed the second game. And they asked me if I wanted to Brian-fy it, basically, and turn it into a Brian game. And I said, absolutely. So we made a ton of changes. And you'll notice that they still have the original – or not the original. Their Pop and Pays More – series with a different theme, and that's the one that they showed me basically. And so you'll notice huge differences between the games, all the extra features, the shaky as I call it, when Brian just gives you a feature or gives you something really exciting. We went to a studio and I shot over 200 sound bites for the game as well, that we could use at different parts of it. You know, I came up at like the nth hour. I came up with a what if they people could poke my face and on the screen and I say rude? Because, you know, that's one of my catchphrases is I say rude a lot because machines are rude. And I was like, if they could poke me in the face when something's bad and I say rude, I think that'll be huge. So we added in that. And also when you touch the screen and my lucky wristbands, you know, go all over the screen. That's like a really, really cool extra bit. They came up with that idea. I got to give them credit for that one because that was really hot too.
Okay, so you have to do a lot of brainstorming on these catchphrases.
The game had a lot of success, and I'll say, like, you know, our it was mutually beneficial, our relationship, because it helped us a lot, but we helped them. We helped get them into casinos in areas they have never been before. Because of our relationship with doing cruises with Carnival, we were able to get Gaming Arts games on their ships now. So now people can play our games there. And we also introduced them to our other partner, Chumba Casino. And we got Brian Christopher's Pop and Pays More on Chumba, so people can now play us all across the United States and Canada as well. So definitely it's been a great relationship for all of us involved. And we're definitely eager to come out with another slot machine very soon, hopefully.
Okay. And you mentioned your deal with Carnival. So this is kind of an interesting thing. It makes all the sense in the world. First, when I read that press release, I said, man, that makes sense. Okay. But so tell us a little bit about that. How many of these are you? Well, first of all, do you like cruises?
I love to cruise. Yes.
Okay. <Thank goodness. laughs> I see Josh shaking his head. No, I'm also a no. Don is a yes.
Oh, no, I love cruises. I was just joking. He hates cruises, right? Though he absolutely abhors it. So, you know, we're going to put him on a boat for 8 weeks a year, right?
Well, that's good. And so I know you guys just did Australia, right? So you were down there for how long was that cruise?
We did two back-to-back cruises. The first cruise was just for us to get used to it over there, get used to the timing and get a lot of filming out of the way without all the fans on board. So that was just like a 5-day cruise. And then we did, I think it was 11 or 13 days, maybe it was an 11-day cruise after that with fans on board as well. So our first cruise there, I think we had about 430 Australian people on, well, they came from all over the world actually, on that cruise. We're going back there in November this year for two cruises for fans. And we already have over 900 people signed up for those cruises.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, that's Nick calls me a degenerate gambler, and I've actually been invited to your cruises, the Carnival cruises, not because I've known you. This is the first time we've ever talked, but because of past play on Carnival. I get those emails and those direct mails all the time, and I've always been curious as to what that would be like. And obviously you've got a lot of different gamblers on there, and that's who they're obviously marketing to, you know, people who are not willing or who are willing to drop a little bit of money. But it's very tempting when you get those offers. You know, you get a free play offer, come on a free cruise and get to play with Brian Christopher. It's a very tempting offer.
Yeah, we make it very good for our fans too. So they get a good deal. Just, I mean, even if they've never been on a cruise before, we have a thing on our website where they can sign up for a thing called Fun Match. And what they can do is take their own casino offers from their land-based casino, upload it to the Fun Match system, and Carnival will look at that or look at their like tier that they're at a casino and be like, oh, they must be a gambler. We'll give them this offer. It could be a discounted cruise or it could be a free cruise. And then they all get free drinks in the casino. We host events mm-hmm. for them. Like, it's a whole shebang. They get a lot of fun out of it. If they have no history of offers or anything else, they're still going to get a discount to come on board with us too.
And the other thing too that I always like to say to Brian, because I've been on a few of these myself, is that when you think about a cruise ship and the capacity, like say 3,500, 4,000 people, just like as an example, and then there's 600 people on that cruise ship that's part of the crew, you're literally taking 15 to 20% of that ship over, basically, right? So it's like it becomes a very interesting experience because you're constantly running into other members of the group in, you know, the dining halls, you're running into them during excursions, you're running into them during the activities on the ship in the casino. So you make a lot of friends and you make a lot of connections, and you know, that's, again, going back to that whole community that develops out of this. You know, I'm in a private Facebook chat with like 30 of us that have been on a number of these cruises with Brian, and we're constantly like, which cruise are you taking? What are you booking? Where are you going to be next? Because of these relationships that we developed. And so that's the other thing that I think that people don't necessarily realize when they do these things is they think they're going to be alone or they're going to be by themselves. Or like, you know, I've never been on a cruise before. It's a big family and everybody welcomes mm-hmm. everybody in. And, you know, it's really such a wonderful experience as a result.
Yeah, when you mentioned 900, that's another came to mind. I said that must be 20% of the capacity of the ship, right? I mean, it's a huge number of people. I'm shocked by that number.
Yeah, well, so the 900 is between the two cruises in November, but we do have cap. We're capping them now. We have to do that. So mm-hmm. depending on the size of the ship, we cap it at 550, 650, or 750 people per cruise.
Okay.
Think about the casino sizes, right? It's like
they're small.
Some of the casinos only have 300 slot machines in them, right? So we can't have, I mean, I could oversell and sell 1,500 people on board, but that's not going to make it for a very fun cruise for anybody.
Yeah. And so are they concentrating you anyplace geographically, or is it just basically you go all over the world for these things?
Well, because of my stance on smoke-free gambling, we're only looking at the cruise ships that have smoke-free casinos on board.
Okay. And what is kind of the mix of that? Like, what percentage of them is still permitting smoke? I didn't even realize that.
They all permit smoking in the USA, but uh-huh. some of their ships, we have 8. I'm doing it in my head. 8 of their ships have a smoke-free casino on board. Of that, 5 of them have a completely separate casino on a different area or different floor even than the other one. What they're doing is they're testing it out right now, right? I'm trying to convince them that smoke-free is the way to go. 88% of people don't smoke anymore. So let's get on with this. And so what they've started to do is they've converted their old conference room areas into smoke-free casinos. So that's step one for me. Mm-hmm. Eventually world domination, but you know, when baby steps right now.
First it's Carnival, and then it's the world.
Yeah.
But to be fair, some of their competitors are starting to respond with their own smoke-free casino annexes. So it does seem to be starting to catch on, which is a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah.
I was just looking at Carnival Magic's layout, and they had two different casinos on their vessel, and they had different levels, and they had one that's totally non-smoking and the smoking. And so it'll be interesting to see that and experience that and see what the play is like.
We're going to be on there next week, actually.
You're going to be on Magic?
We'll be on Magic in about a week and a half. The smoke-free casino's on one floor with about 100 slot machines, and the smoking one has about 300 on a different floor.
Amazingly enough, so well, I'll be on Magic in about a week and a half.
Hey, there we go.
At the end of January, I'm going to the Caribbean.
We'll see you there.
Oh, we gotta have a. Okay, so we gotta have a contest on this, number one, and then Josh and I are gonna bet on the side.
There you go.
Who's gonna win? Huh?
Oh my gosh. Goodness.
Well, listen, if you were upset about six people around one slot machine, get ready for 300.
Yeah, well, this will be interesting. That's great. That's wild.
But yeah, guys, let's talk about that because it's always about smoking. Yeah. Because this is always kind of it's such a hot button in the casino industry. And, you know, I'm with you guys. I can't stand it. And, you know, it's just, I think Brian, you had mentioned to me in the past that you guys had talked to, or you'd polled your Rudies, your fans, and asked them, and a lot of the people, even those who smoke, they don't like smoking casinos, right? It's just it seems like so many attitudes have changed on this, but it's just something that's dying so hard in our industry. So yeah, tell me a little bit about that, like what's really fueling that passion, and what's it all about?
I mean, I grew up in Canada, right? So, and we haven't had smoking in our casinos in Ontario for like, I don't even know, 20 years maybe. So when I moved to the States and I found smoking here, I was in complete and utter shock. You always imagine the States is ahead of everyone else, but in this one, for some reason, very far behind. Mm-hmm. And so soon after launching my channel, I actually came across an organization, ANR, Americans for Non-Smokers' Rights. I found them at G2E actually. I was like, how can we work together, you know? And it took us a few years to figure that out because we didn't really know what we were doing. Together we came up with a survey to ask my fans, you know, what they think about smoking casinos. And what I've learned is the amount of gamblers who smoke is a little bit higher than the amount of Americans who smoke. So that might go hand in hand a little bit. But again, a little bit, it's not 100%. We're talking maybe like 18%. But the other part of that is majority of people, including smokers, prefer smoke-free casinos. And that's what casinos need to understand is, you know, smokers are not driving or flying to a casino to have a cigarette. They're going there to gamble. You know, gamblers go to casinos to gamble. And these smokers who are also there to gamble, they don't smoke in their own houses. Why? They don't want to stink all the time. They don't want to smoke an ashtray either. It might sound weird to you, but they don't. And that's what they say. They don't like going back to their rooms and having a shower before bed either, just like the rest of us, you know? Yeah. And even the executives who or people that work inside the casinos, they have to get their suits dry cleaned every other day. Like it's really, really horrible. I don't need to tell you about how bad secondhand smoke is because everybody knows it. We've known it for decades. And it's time that they just wake up and actually pull their own audiences. And that's what I find is not happening enough when I do speak to casinos is they will tell me, oh, no, most of our people smoke. And I actually went off last week. I had a little rant on LinkedIn because I was sickened by a post by a casino that put out, or someone took a photo rather of a sign at a casino saying, moving forward, we no longer will allow cigar smoking within 15 feet of our table games. And I was reading the comments, and these are from people who are anti-smoking. The comments were, well, that's great. That's a baby step. We're moving in the right direction. And I'm like, smoke and mirrors, people. This is nothing. Like, what's 15 feet? That's like five steps away. Like, it's not that far. And I'm sorry, if you are like eight rooms over, I'm smelling your cigar. Like, cigars travel. And if you're smelling it, you're breathing it in and you're getting the toxic chemicals. So do not even. But that LinkedIn post, it actually exploded. It was picked up by what was that? An online newspaper in Italy, even. They reposted parts of my messaging in there. I had a few casinos that were in the chat in there, too, that were trying to argue with me the points a little bit, but kind of made themselves look pretty petty. Their arguments were just not sitting right. Like, oh, well, what am I supposed to do? Tell my person who loses $100,000 a month that they can't come now because they can't have their cigars? Like, you know, are you building your business around that one person, or Like, do you actually care about people's lives? Like, let's figure it out.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's what's oftentimes misconstrued, I think, in the industry is it's people worry about drops in visitation and this other effect that they call time to think, which is that if they go outside and have a cigarette, then they're a bit concerned that, you know, they all of a sudden take inventory of their actions and they say, oh man, I have to stop and take off. And so typically you see some drop in visitation and drop in overall performance. However, it's really only applicable if there's an adjacent casino that offers it, right? So if there's, I mean, that's really kind of, I think, the first place to start
but,
on
but
this.
But even that myth I would throw the word myth out there, and here's why. In October, we did a presentation at G2E about non-smoking casinos, and someone did some data research. So the casinos that report their data outside of Nevada, the top seven are all non-smoking casinos. Half of them are non-smoking by state law, which therefore removes the competition, but half were not. And three were Parks Casino in Pennsylvania, which is surrounded by smoking casinos.
Oh, yes, it is.
Pennsylvania and Atlantic City, all within reach. Yet they were number one before the pandemic when all these changes happened. They actually grew their number one position after the pandemic. So they acquired more customers than they lost sticking to non-smoking. And then both Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods are not required to be smoking or non-smoking in Connecticut. They have Rhode Island right next door that still allows smoking, but they decided to commit to staying non-smoking as part of their sort of return to normalcy. And so, you know, there definitely is a bit of a change in the wind starting to finally happen. And a lot of the changes that are happening tend to be adjacent states. So you're seeing it in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. There's really big efforts, but also other states too, like New Mexico. All the tribes sort of decided together they're going to all commit to the sticking to non-smoking for the most part, and that seems to be working out. So I think that the seeds of change have begun. I think the pandemic finally shook the tree, but people still need to get that reinforcement. These operators just need to hear from the players that they prefer this non-smoking experience, because a lot of us do. I'm a former smoker, and I definitely remember the times when I enjoyed smoking a cigarette. Now I can't go into a smoking casino and be as happy because it hurts the experience. I spend less time in those casinos. I have to leave sooner if I'm going to be in one. Yeah.
Now, do you get much pushback from operators on this topic, guys, or are they behind you generally?
Yeah, it's they're more behind us. I get private messages from casinos saying, I wish we would do that. I wish they would listen to us. And I get it from slot manufacturers saying, keep up the fight. Like, nobody wants this.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Okay, so a little bit earlier you had mentioned flipTheSwitch.com. So, Josh, can you kind of give us a rundown of that product offering and what it's all about?
Yeah, so Flip the Switch is a very different thing for us because we sort of were historically in video and in, you know, specifically slots content. But Flip the Switch broadens our worldview quite a bit to cover other aspects of the casino world. So sports betting is one example of that. iGaming is another. In fact, Brian, yesterday as we're recording this, announced that we're going to be doing a Real Money Gaming channel that's launching on Sunday, where he's going to be doing Real Money Gaming live streams and shorts on a regular basis going forward. But we're broadening our worldview to cover other aspects of it. But Flip the Switch is also written content primarily as opposed to video. So it allows us to reach people in different ways. And I got brought in part because I've spent a lot of time in the gaming community, and I see a lot of well-meaning but misguided information from a slot tech or this or that, where people said the slot tech told me that the slots by the aisle pay more hand pay, so you should only play slots by the aisle because they pay better. Well, sort of A doesn't necessarily connect with B, and you see a lot of this stuff passed around in the world. So one of the things that we want to do is sort of help break myths, educate about what's really going on the casino floor, aim for a healthier mindset. You know, don't blame the boogeyman that you had a losing session. Like, you have to understand that if you go into a casino, the money you're bringing in is, you should consider it spent money like any other entertainment activity. Mm-hmm. And if you come out with money, that's just a bonus, right? That's not something you should expect or plan for.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some of it's answering player questions. We have something called You Ask, which we answer one question per day. Other parts of it are sort of taking some of the things we've learned from our partners or ourselves along the way and sharing that information. And then some of it's also just educating about some of these newer opportunities, like with sports books or iGaming, for those who may not understand how a sports bet works, you know, which includes Brian and myself before we started this, you know, what is a money line? What is a, you know, an odds bet, or what are the numbers, all those little plus and minuses on the screen mean, and helping to sort of give people that foundation so they can feel a little more confident if they do want to, for instance, bet on the Super Bowl in a few weeks and have never done it before.
Okay. And I'm sure, so you mentioned that you have you get a lot of questions and you're busting a lot of myths. So you guys must have a couple just dandies, like people, you have to give me one or two.
One of my favorite recent ones was someone who told me that I read an article that casinos in certain states will purposely pay less than the minimum required by law and will simply pay fines to make that issue go away and they can keep doing less.
Wow.
And then when we wrote a post saying like, this is not true, they said, you need to do your research. So we did. We actually reached out to the states in question to ask them how many fines they issued to casinos, and the answer was zero. So, yeah. Like, we're willing to take the extra time to do the homework because we understand that people read things and they just assume it's the truth. And, you know, why should we believe you over what we read? So, like, we'll take the extra time to do this because we want people to understand that, like, casinos don't need to do this, right? A slot machine has one of the best house advantages on the casino floor. So why do they need to – oh, because you put your player's card in, they're going to lower the payouts or something like that, right? They're not that granular and they don't need to do that. They're going to make – plenty of money for the casino just sitting there and doing a million spins, right? So that's a lot of what we get. But you know, again, the goal is to help people think from a healthier perspective about this, not like try to create boogeymen that they can blame for the reason why they're losing. Oh, I lost because the casino journey was the event this day, so they turned the payouts down because there was a big concert, right? Like mm-hmm. Fill in the blank. There's so many of these. Casinos pump oxygen into the room to keep people awake, or they purposely make distracting carpet patterns so you won't leave. Like the question I always ask is, how many of us have ever gotten distracted by the carpet to the point where we can't find the exit? It's one of those things that always makes me laugh, but yet people really believe that this is part of the calculus. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun actually to write about this stuff because, like, you know, you get to play with the ideas a little bit and tease it out. But at the same time, you want to help people just better understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Whoever puts the website together and monitors it does a really nice job. It's one of the more easier navigatable websites. And I've really enjoyed looking around at it. It's very well done. So congratulations there. Yeah.
Thanks. We had a lot of planning sessions amongst us to sort of get that right. And, you know, Brian and Marco, Brian's husband, who's also part of the team, really have a good idea of like how they want to see things from a visual perspective. I think, you know, that's one thing that's made Brian's channel successful is the emphasis on a good visual style and quality. And so we definitely wanted to make sure that carried over to Flip the Switch as well.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. I mean, the production value of those is great. Yeah.
Yeah, and also to Josh's credit, we have slot manufacturers and casinos emailing us and messaging us saying, thank you for doing this work. Not only am I learning a lot, but you are like proving my point that I've been trying to tell people for years, like this is the way it is. There was even a great article that he did on taxes recently. An accountant left a message in the comments below it, saying, oh gosh, I was so worried when I saw this article coming out. I'm like, here it goes again. And someone else saying bad things, but everything you said is true. Thank you so much for telling everybody how to do their taxes with, you know, gambling. Because nobody really understands it. And there's so many mysteries behind it.
Oh, so you're talking about from the player's perspective, how they do their WTG filing, then their income taxes at the end of the year.
Players give each other really bad information online. And the first thing I always tell people is you should never be getting tax advice from Facebook. But, you know, they'll be like, oh, you can just download all your win-loss statements and do your taxes and you're fine. But the moment you get audited, and honestly, all you have to do is go to the IRS website and they state in black and white, win-loss records are not enough. You need to keep a gambling diary and keep receipts. Right. And you have to be able to really prove your record. And you have to report all winnings and all losses, not just the W2G. So I can guarantee almost no one is putting in like, oh, I won $50 on Saturday. And so let me add that to my income for the year, right? Like that's the thing. And so I think a lot of players, you know, they read what other players are doing and they just follow the lead. But the moment you like, it's just the risk of the audit, right? Like you can file your taxes however you want, but if you get audited and you don't have what the IRS's is expecting you to have, that's a problem. I had a player actually write in and say, hey, thank you for this. I got audited and had to pay a fine and pay back taxes because they didn't accept what I had filed. And so,
wow.
You know, it happens. And so you just want to make sure people are protecting themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it seemed to me as I haven't spent a ton of time on Flip the Switch, but what I saw, I really liked, and it seemed is the primary angle to this guy's really about educating the gamblers. Is it more of an educational thing than anything else?
That's definitely the primary aspect. So so you know what we've discovered, and this is something my previous site also was working towards, was there's just a lot of curiosity in the community. And so, yeah. You know, once you get to know the games, you know, there's such a diversity to the games. There's so many different things happening. Some people just don't understand how games work. So even just educating about how a particular game works can be very valuable. You know, some people want to understand, like, you know, is that bonus truly, like, is that pick real or is it already decided at the moment? You know, it may not make a difference in the final outcome of how the game pays over time, but some players just like knowing that their pick matters in certain games, for instance. So, you know, they like to know these pieces of information. And so, you know, I think it's just great that especially now, more of the manufacturers are also willing to share some of these pieces of information. Like, you learn things like bonus frequencies, you learn things like, you know, hit frequency and volatility, even if it's like a range from 1 to 6 and it's just a range within their company, right? Like, you still get some sort of a bit of an understanding of what to know. And I think that's what's kind of interesting, is now there's enough information out there that also makes such a project viable.
Yeah. 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 And I think that's been just, you know, part of what you guys have been doing. It's just, it has just kind of, I feel, really increased transparency levels all around. You know, I mean, we certainly see a lot more operations that are willing to, yeah, be a bit more transparent with players and tell them more about stuff and whatnot. So, I mean, kudos to you guys. That's great stuff. It's,
and you know, the other thing wonderful. Too, is that the other thing is Brian will learn things and share them in videos, but how do you search that? That's the other thing that we're also targeting, right? So, like, we learned at one point that there was a game that a company put on the floor that they purposely set a higher minimum payback percentage because it was going to be a faster gameplay. So that's how they balanced it out. They expected, you know, the speed of it's going to make up for the higher payback. And they told Brian the statistic, and Brian said it in the video probably like 5 or 6 times. And then people were constantly like, how do you know this? So, like, being able to put this in a place where we can, like, link them to the information and share it also makes it more accessible to more people than, you know, trying to find a video from 2.5 years ago where he said, gotcha. You know, 20 minutes into a live stream. So
yeah.
that there's another value to that as well in terms of just accessibility.
Yeah. Sure. Educating the customers is always a good thing. I was in the casino operator side for nearly 30 years, and I couldn't tell you how many times I recommended things like Bob Dancer's video poker products and cheat sheets and stuff like that to video poker players to try to get them educated so they weren't making these costly mistakes, you know, holding an ace when they've got a pair of kings and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And an educated customer is a better customer. So yeah. I applaud your efforts there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, Don, do you have any, I see we're kind of up on the 40 minute mark. Did you have any more questions for Josh and Brian today?
No, I'm good, Nick. And it looks like, Brian, we're going to be sailing out of different ports, unfortunately, and the same cruise lines. But I think you're going out of Texas and your one's coming up.
Did you just change your cruise right now as we're talking?
This can be too awkward now.
So, yeah, I couldn't do it.
Okay, I guess I was mistaken.
So check your ports. No, you never know. You might both end up at the same port on the same day, and you can meet off the ship, you know?
Yeah, that would have been interesting. I will probably book a Brian Christopher cruise in the future because I do enjoy my slot machines. I do enjoy gambling, and I'm a big fan of Carnival. And well, I will you. Definitely I just, look for – I'm looking at the stuff now and I'm seeing sold out, sold out, sold out. So they book. Yeah.
I was mistaken. We're on Carnival Breeze the next few weeks. And then it's Magic right after that in May. Yep. So,
okay. Gotcha. So, gotcha.
Soon.
Okay, guys, any upcoming engagements or any other things you have going on that you'd like to mention here today?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the biggest one is our launch of our new YouTube channel, Brian Christopher Slots 2. It starts this Sunday. I'm not sure when this is coming out, but it's out, maybe.
Okay.
What's the difference between the original one and two?
So the two is 100% RMG. We're just doing online real money gaming. So I'll be traveling to different states to be able to play online. We'll do a live stream or a live premiere every single Sunday at 2 o'clock Pacific time. And putting out daily shorts playing online slots as well. Okay. We're putting a huge push on this. So it'll be both on our YouTube and on kick.com as well.
Okay, cool. Now that brings up, now I of course have another question, which is if you split your slot play online and brick and mortar, what is the split for Brian Christopher? What do you typically, this is the, like on your own off time play.
For off time, well, luckily I live in California, so I can't play online that often. But I do play a lot of Chumba and Lucky Land, which is legal in California. Okay. And it's also responsible for all of my biggest wins of all time by far.
No kidding.
Like my biggest win is still really small on a slot machine. It's just over $31,000, whereas on Chumba and Lucky Land I've hit a $200,000, a $202,000, and a $250,000 jackpot so far.
Wow. And that's just playing alone with no audience.
Just me playing on my farting around on my phone.
Okay, wow. Very good.
Yeah, well, anybody is really interested in that stuff, I know on the Flip the Switch, you've got different offers for the different casinos, including Chumba and other ones that where you can get free coins and match play on the sports books and stuff like that. So it's very well done. It's easy to find.
Yeah, we encourage everybody to check out flipthe-switch.com. It's very cool indeed.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today. As always, lovely to talk to you guys. Always a lot of fun. And we wish you the best and continued success. And we're watching you like hawks. We really love what you guys are up to.
Thank you. And it's completely mutual. Next time I want to interview you guys. Okay.
Okay. We're down.
Perfect.
Okay,
well, thank you very much for your time, gentlemen, and enjoy your cruises and good luck playing and all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks much.
Okay. Thank you, gents.